Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us this afternoon for another Blog Talk Radio program hosted by the National Resource Center on Domestic Violence. I'm Kenya Fairley, Senior Director of Capacity Building and Education. In recognition of Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, our focus today will be on healthy relationships, healthy breakups, and dating violence prevention. Taking our cues from Love and Hip Hop, from New York to LA, our panelists will discuss lessons learned about dating from some of VH1's most popular TV shows. We have two panelists that will be joining us today, and our first one is part of a Start Strong Peer Leaders program out of Boston. I'm going to pass it over to one of the program organizers, Jess Alder, and she's going to tell us a little bit more about our panelists, and then our panelists will tell us about the program. So, Jess, I'll turn it over to you.
Hello, thanks so much. So I'm Jess Alder. I'm the program manager at Start Strong. We are housed in the Boston Public Health Commission. And essentially our mission is to prevent teen dating violence and promote healthy relationship using a peer leadership model. In short, what that means is that we train high school students, so between the ages of 14 and 18, to become young experts in the field of dating violence prevention and healthy relationship promotion. We focus on the many intersections that lead to dating place a heavy focus on racism and sexism and gender, and we approach a lot of this through a media lens. So we've created multiple tools that Manasia, I'm sure, will highlight during this discussion. And I'm going to turn it over now to Manasia, who this is her second year, yes, as a Start Strong peer leader. She is a sophomore in high school. And she is by far one of the most inspiring young people that we have had join our team. She understands this material to an extent that most adults can't even fathom. Very articulate, very poised, super funny, and just a really great person to be around. So I'm happy that she was able to join us for the show, and I'll pass it over to her.
Hello, my name is My name is Manasia Ferguson, and yes, like Jess said, I've been working at Start Strong for 2 years, and what we do is basically we have discussions and talks, and we basically talk about what healthy relationship is, what is a dating relationship, what is a romantic relationship, just basically what's the same-sex relationship and how it differs from heterosexual and same-sex relationships, and basically we just have conversations about media and the world and what bothers us and about just basically equality and how we try to, like, fix things just coming from a youth point of view.
Great. That's wonderful. Thank you. We're excited to have you on today and to hear some of your perspectives. So our other panelist is Maurice Hendricks, an esteemed colleague of mine that I've known for years. He's here in the D.C. metro area, and he's been working in the domestic violence field for well over 10 years now. He's worked both in victim services and also in veteran intervention programs. So we're going to move into learning a little bit more about our panelists, and at that point we'll hear from Maurice as well. But we want to hear a little bit more about their work in the areas of dating, domestic, and sexual violence. So first, Manasia, we want to start with you. If you can tell us a little bit about why you became involved with Start Strong and the types of activities or events that you all organize and participate in.
Okay, so my sister-in-law, she used to work at Boston Area Rape Crisis Center, and she knows about my debates, and she knows how strong things about how I want to change the world and how I want to just do little things about the world, and she told me about this job, Start Strong, and basically what they do, and I loved it. So I came aboard, and in the first year I did, like, everybody welcomed me, and the things we learned just about how to talk to people and how not to assume and how to just treat people with equally respect. That's what I really love, mm-hmm. and that's basically why I stayed with the job for so long, and I want to continue until I'm done with high school. And one of the many things, we do a lot of things, but one of the greatest things I think we do is our breakup summit, which we have in middle of July usually every single summer. And it basically talks about how to have a healthy breakup. And mm-hmm. we as we lead it, and we help the adults show, like, teenagers, they break up. They do have a lot of problems, but how can it be a healthy breakup? Like, what is going on in these relationships that need to get better? So when they're done breaking up, or when the relationship is done and they want to move on, there's not so many heartbreaks, fighting, and things going on that will start fights or hurt or anything like that can lead to so many different things. Like, for example, at one of the breakup summits, we had a speaker come, and his daughter has died because of a horrible breakup. Her and a boyfriend started to fight, and she ended up dying in a result of them fighting, and we wanted something like that to never happen again. So we wanted to teach teens, just because you break up with someone doesn't mean it's the end of the world. Learn how to move on, learn your boundaries, and learn how to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you. That makes a lot of great sense. And that's such a fantastic program that you offer. And I think something that I've never really heard of, but I know it can be extremely useful to a lot of young people as well as adults who may not have learned those skills earlier on. So, Maurice, as a father, why do you think it's important to have these conversations about images in the media and pop culture and how relationships are portrayed amongst youth?
I think it's important because the images that are portrayed on TV can sometimes be misconstrued as reality. And I think recently, with the rise in popularity of reality shows, it's being billed as just that. When I think that a large portion of the population don't live their lives like this. So you need to explain that while this is being billed as reality, this is, in fact, entertainment. Like, this is set up, edited, staged in this manner to get ratings, but this is not how you should necessarily conduct your life. It won't have the same outcomes or impacts.
Right. Fantastic. Thank you for sharing it. And I do think that's a great point that sometimes people miss, is that these shows are scripted and they are produced, and then they're also edited and put together in such a way as to kind of heighten some of the drama or some of the negativity that happens on the show. So before we really get into too many specifics, why don't we take some time to just kind of set the stage for our listeners. So as Maurice just said, Love & Hip Hop is a reality TV show, and in these shows in particular feature entertainers from the world of hip hop and some from pop culture, but they primarily have a background in hip hop. And there have been several seasons of these shows that have been filmed in New York, L.A., and Atlanta with a different cast of characters. So the two that we're mainly going to talk about today is the one in New York and then the one in Hollywood or L.A. And so I just want to throw out the names of some of the couples that are on the show, and hopefully they'll ring a couple of bells with people who may have seen these shows or heard of them, or, you know, maybe you are familiar with some of the names I'm going to mention. So some of the main stars, using it term loosely, some of the main stars out of Love & Hip Hop New York are Yandy and Mendeecees, Erica Mena and Finn, and then also you can throw Rich Dollars into that, Amina Butterfly, Peter Guns, and Tara, which we'll definitely spend some time talking about their relationships, Cisco and Diamond Strawberry. And then out of Love & Hip Hop LA, we have Omarion and April. And then there's Ray J and kind of a cast of characters. So we'll say Ray J, Tierra Marie, Princess Love, and Morgan. And then there was also a couple of storylines with Soulja Boy and Nia Riley, and then Youngberg, Hazel Lee, and Masika. So we're going to try to touch bases on a few of these storylines from the show. So let's start out by talking about what's going on in... Well, actually, before we start to talk about the show specifically, I want to jump back over to Manasia and just ask you if you can tell us maybe just in a few words about two or three good or bad lessons that young people may take away from these shows when it comes to dating and relationships. So maybe what would be the first and second points you would make that are good, and then the first and second points you would make that are bad lessons that young people can learn from these shows?
Well, I can think of one thing for good, and that is that it's okay to fight in your relationship, and it's okay to have, like, problems, and it's okay because it's normal. But a couple of bad things about it is that people think that if you're not fighting in your relationship, then it's not a relationship, or there's nothing good going on, or you don't trust each other basically in a relationship if you're not fighting. Also, another bad thing I would point out is that it's okay to, like, call your significant other derogatory terms, or if you're a girl and you're fighting, or it's okay, but if a guy hits a girl, it's totally wrong.
Right, so you bring up a couple of interesting points, and I think one that we want to start to maybe dissect a little bit is around the term fighting, because I think sometimes when people hear that, they automatically think that means physical altercation, some form of physical contact where you are, one person is being attacked and the other person is, excuse me, the other person is either defending themselves or also fighting back. And so I think that what you may be saying is that something that sometimes that young people watching these shows could be taking away the sense that there needs to be drama or some type of verbal altercation and some type of aggression happening within the relationship in order for it to be a relationship, when in fact it's really not okay for two people that are involved in a relationship or even hooking up to be fighting or getting into these altercations. Is that correct about your first point?
Yes, that's 100% true.
Great, thank you. And then also I think the second point you brought up is really important for us to talk about as well, and I think we'll get to that a little bit more in terms of there being double standards around who may be creating violence or using violence in the relationship. It's not okay for young men to use violence against their female partner. It's not okay for a young woman to use violence against her partner either, whether it may be a young woman or a young man, whether the relationship is heterosexual, straight, gay, bi, whatever the situation and identification is, no one that's involved in an intimate relationship or even just hooking up or dating or hanging out should be fighting at all or using any type of abuse towards the other person. So thanks for sharing those points with us. And so I think now we want to just talk a little bit more about some of the specifics that came up in the show, because your point goes to one of our first questions. So recently there were some allegations of Young Berg being arrested for domestic violence, and then he was subsequently let go from the show, basically fired. But then on another episode, Erica Mena had attacked Sin over allegations of cheating in her relationship. And so as far as I understand it, Erica Mena is still part of the show. So do you think that her situation should have been handled differently or the same as Young Berg's?
100%, and it really made me mad that it's okay for two girls. It's totally normal for two girls to fight on television, and it's going to be okay. And if they have an altercation, that's just what girls do. They fight it out, and it's okay. But when a man hits a woman, it's totally wrong. It's 100% wrong, and then people don't understand where the double standards come from. For example, I have a tool called the Real Binary Tool, and it labels like the masculine norms and the feminine norms of each character in each TV show or movie we watch. And if it's masculine, then it has like insults, intimidation, like sex and toughness. But if feminine, it's like emotional, flirty, and gossips and nags all the time. So what Erica Mena was doing was she was nagging about her cheating about her, and it was totally normal. But if a guy does it, or if he's not intimidating, he's therefore not a guy. So it just makes no sense to me in all the way. It was double standards, and it was just wrong. Like, if you're going to say no domestic violence, say no domestic violence and put it on both parties. Like, don't just put it on the man and then expect men not to be like, whoa, wait a minute, that's wrong.
Right, absolutely. What do you think about that, Maurice?
I agree. The show should have strict standards that if someone puts their hands on another cast member, then that should be it. It shouldn't be a double standard, because it makes it seem like one form of violence is acceptable while the other isn't.
Right, exactly. I definitely think you and Manasia are saying the same thing. So how do you think we can help reframe that conversation when it's happening? Because I definitely do think that people may be watching the show and have
The conversation could be around, like, basically conflict resolution. Like, I taught a workshop about conflict resolution. Like, for example, say if you and your partner are fighting over someone spilled milk in the kitchen. That is not the main problem in your relationship. There is something more deeper than that, and that is the reason you're fighting. So you have to get to that conversation. It's not the fact that you spilled milk in the kitchen. It's the fact that after I cleaned the kitchen, you didn't clean up the milk. You didn't take my feelings into consideration, so you feel betrayed. So it's all about what mainly is the problem. It's not about what you did. It's about what you didn't, what was the root of the problem, what you didn't really care about in the situation. So if we teach, like, it's not about what, but it's about the root and about what's really wrong, and telling people it's okay mm-hmm. to sit down and have a conversation about what is really wrong rather than just trying to hide it behind everything and just trying to make it, like, mm-hmm. a big drama, it would be better.
Absolutely. Thank you. Maurice, do you have anything else to offer related to that about conflict resolution and kind of getting to the deeper understanding of what the root of the problem is?
I mean, I just think that in these shows, it needs to be a zero tolerance policy. I think that people need to understand that when you put your hands on somebody else, we've kind of gone past conflict resolution at that point. And, you know, that's actually breaking the law. And I think that the images that are portrayed give young people mixed messages. You have Berg, he gets kicked off the show, and there was police intervention, whereas the Erica Mena, nothing happened. You know, she was there next week apologizing, and it was all good. And it sends the message that you can get away with, you know, striking another person, and that's just not the message we want to have out there.
Right, absolutely. I definitely think that both situations were handled very differently, and I can agree that it looked as if one situation had consequences and the other one didn't. And even in the follow-up conversation that Erica Mena had with Sin, she was just kind of fairly nonchalant about it. So going back to what Manasia was saying, it's kind of the same thing of not really caring about the root of the problem. When Sin felt disrespected and attacked, Erica was like, well, I just hope you can get over it, and okay, bye girl, I got to go back and finish shooting my video. You know, just real disrespectful with her. So I appreciate the comments that both of you had about that, because I think the message is clear that we want to have a consistent conversation and a consistent message that there are consequences when you use violence and abuse in a relationship. And so we hope that VH1 is able to follow up and do a little bit more about that related to Erica Mena. So let's spend a little bit of time talking about Peter Guns. So he has a really interesting situation on the show where he is where he's been in a long-term relationship with a woman, Tara, with whom he has children, and then he also has another woman that he's in a relationship with and recently married who is now expecting a child as well. So on the show, Peter is, you know, pretty much maintaining both of these relationships. Both of the women know about each other. Neither of them are really interested in continuing the situation as it is, but they have not taking any actions really to end the relationship. So the first question is, do you think that Peter Guns is truly in love with both of these women, or do you think that he's being manipulative and taking advantage of the situation? So Manasia, I don't know if you have any input on that first, or Maurice, if you want to jump in there first.
I'll go first. I pretty much feel that he's manipulating the situation. I mean, you can't maintain that you're in love with these two women at the same time, but you're doing things to hurt both of them back and forth, and their kids over here, their kids over there, and the whole while there's 100% lies just flowing forth. So you can't really say that that's how you and I think that's another display of an image that we don't want out there for youth. Like, that's how you love somebody. You're trying to tell them what they want to hear or lie to them in the moment so that they're happy. And that's just not, you know, healthy love.
Great. So then the second, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, how I feel about the situation too. He's being really manipulative. Like, what I think about it is, I think about if I go back to Twilight and, like, Bella, how she was, like, with Jacob and Edward. Everybody called the girl a hoe. Everybody said you can't love two people at the same time. Everybody was just, like, even in the movie theater when I was watching all the movies, that everybody was just saying the most disgusting things about her. But, no, everybody saying, oh, he loves them both. They both have qualities of being good mothers, and he just can't decide. He just, it's making up excuses for him. It's like, take responsibility. Either you're going to stop playing both of them, or you're going to take and you're going to show them both equally respect and not be with both of them, not to hurt the other. It's just, I just think that he's getting the best of both worlds. He's getting what he wants from both of these women, and they're not respecting themselves enough to say, hey, I don't deserve this. So.
All right, great. Thank you. So that kind of leads into the second part of the question is, at what point do you think either woman in the relationship should take some responsibility for ending it, and what would be her motivation to do that? So do you want to go first, Manasia?
Sure. So the responsibility, I think it's kind of hard to talk about because we have a lot of conversations about if it's not my relationship, I'm an outsider looking in. So this question is kind of hard for me because it's like I'm always like, hey, that's their relationship. She feels like it's just I don't know how she feels. So therefore, if she feels like she can't live without him or she feels like a special bond, I can't say, hey, it's time for you to break up, but respect yourself. But I have to show her like this is what a healthy relationship is. Is he treating you like X, Y, and Z? Or this isn't what a healthy relationship is, but I can't talk, like, you can't just talk at the person. You have to talk to them. You have to show them that you really care. So, like, I don't know. It's like a different conflict because I'm, like, an outsider looking in on their relationship. But I don't even think the relationship is really real at the same time. And they're trying to portray it to be real. But it just wishy-washy for me.
Right. Okay.
I would agree with the last part of what she said, which is this is probably not a real relationship. This is probably not a real portrayal of what they go through every day. I think this is more constructive for TV. But if we're going to dissect what we see on TV, then you would have to say, hey, the responsibility lies on the moms to say, you know what, I'm a mother and I have to have some structure for my children and make sure that everything around them is healthy. So putting yourself and the relationship aside, you might not be able to live without them, you might love him, but is this love triangle with multiple children and lies and sometimes he's there and sometimes he's not the most healthy thing for the children that are involved? I think about one scene where he's eating with Tara and their children outside, and then the other woman or his wife walks up and one of the children taps him on the shoulder like, look. And it's like, again, I believe that this is a created love triangle for TV, and therefore I guess you can liken the children to child actors because they're playing a role to get paid, because I can't believe that what goes on is between the two or three of them is actually real.
Right. I really like what you said about having some responsibility to create a structure for your children and what their environment looks like. And I remember that particular scene that you were just talking about where they were out to lunch, I think, with the children, and they were actually talking about taking a family vacation. And then Amina, Peter Gunn's wife, comes up, and it was just such an emotional, dramatic scene that happened after that. And, you know, the children were just sitting there. And so it's definitely a concern when the kids are just witnessing everything that's going on, and then there's no real concern for how this might be impacting their behavior and what they're learning about how you treat other people, especially those that you care about. So let's spend some time talking about Love and Hip Hop, L.A. or Hollywood. So, and this goes back a little bit earlier to something that Manasia was saying, just around when people are having conversations about what's happening in their relationships and things they may or may not like. So there were several instances on the show where Ray J was explaining something to his girlfriend that appeared to hurt her feelings or make her upset. And her response a few different times was to throw a drink in his face on one occasion. On a different occasion, she just came into a store and dumped his things out of a box and whatnot. So this is kind of similar to how Hazel Lee was acting with Young Berg when he would try to set boundaries with her, let her know that he did not want a long-term relationship and he really wasn't interested in being with her. So what would you say are more appropriate responses when your partner tells you something you may not like or want to hear from them in your relationship? So Manasia, can you maybe go first and talk a little bit about that?
I think it doesn't really matter about what the other person feels. I think it's about boundaries. If I say I don't want something to happen or I don't like something, you have to respect my boundaries no matter what because you would want me to respect your boundaries. So therefore, if I'm having a conversation with you and I'm telling you from the beginning, I want X, Y, and Z, I just told you what I wanted. I'm not holding back. I'm saying everything at the beginning so we both know what's going on. And I feel like we have to both respect each other's boundaries. If you don't like my boundaries, then okay, I guess we can't be together. I guess we can't mess with each other. I guess X, Y, and Z. But if I just flat out tell you this is how I feel, this is what I want, you can say something back to me, but those are my boundaries. And you have to respect my boundaries as I have to respect yours.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely. So, Maurice, what's your take on it? Because in some of these cases, it seems like these are things that people may, if the shoe was on the other foot, if these are things that maybe a young man was doing to his girlfriend, then, or even to a young man that he was in a relationship with, then these are things that I think if someone's throwing a drink in your face or dumping your things out, your personal belongings, dumping them out on the floor, that people may have a different slant on whether or not that's acceptable. So what do you think about that?
I think that culturally we do have that double standard that it's okay for a woman to strike a man or throw a drink in his face and that's okay because she's acting out emotionally or she's been hurt or he should man up. And that's an old, tired stereotype and we should do away with that. If anybody puts their hands on anybody or throws a drink in their face, that's assault. That's against the law. That you should not do that. That's a big no-no, however you want to phrase it. But that shouldn't be allowed because there are just as many bad endings that can come from a drink being thrown in someone's face by either sex. So we should definitely work towards understanding that, you know, that's not okay for anybody to throw a drink or slap or push or punch their partner.
Okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate that. So we only have a few more minutes left. So I just want to say a little bit about Omarion's role on the show. He kind of came across as like the big brother, where he would kind of pull some of the guys together. They might play basketball. They might talk about their relationships and things like that. So how important is it to have a circle of peers around you that you can lean on for support and guidance in a relationship or when you're dating? Manasia, do you want to just say a few things about that real quick?
Yeah, I think it's 100% it is needed because you need somebody to have a balance. Like, Omarion and April's relationship was my favorite on this show because every single problem they had, they talked it out. Like, they just talked it out, and it was amazing how he cared about her and she cared about him, even when the mom was in the middle. So I think it's great to have that balance. It's just, like, you need someone that's always there. It is really needed in a relationship. Not somebody to tell you what to do, but someone to like give you like, hey, this is how I feel about it, and like you compare the two, so something like that.
Wonderful, thank you. And Maurice, your thoughts?
I think you were referencing Omarion's kind of relationship with the other guys on the show, as far as your peers being able to help you or guide you, and I think that's very important in the sense that, you know, sometimes you're in a situation and you have how you feel and think about it, and you might need to bounce that off somebody else that can, you know, give you some helpful advice or tell you, hey, honestly, you're wrong, and this is how you may want to look at that situation. And so it's healthy to get some other opinions about situations so that you aren't going into it blind. You only see your side of it. Your side of it is fueled with emotion, and you know, sometimes a peer can help you step back from the ledge and kind of reevaluate what's going on and maybe help you choose a better course of action.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you both for your comments and for the discussion today. We only have a few more seconds, so I just want to say thank you and encourage everyone to reach out to teendvmonth.org for more information about Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Month. Thanks, and take good care.